Fight!
Welcome again to New Game Plus, a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And this is episode 22, and guys, guess what?
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 We actually already know.
You know? No, you don't.
Oh, I don't? Okay. Surprise
yeah,
me.
Yeah, this is going to be a surprise for you guys. We have a guest on the show today.
What?
Yes, honorable guest, would you please introduce yourself to our NGP viewers?
Certainly. I just kind of snuck in the back door. That's why you kind of didn't see me there. But yeah, no. My name is DanQ8000. I'm a YouTuber on, YouTube for that matter. I do Let's Plays and commentaries and things like that. I'm very excited to be on today. Thank you very much for having me.
Awesome.
Awesome. Thanks for being here.
Course.
We are so excited that you're here with us, that you would take a few minutes out of your week to be with us. And you actually selected the game that we are going to play this week, right?
Yes, that is correct. You said, like, I remember you gave me the option to pick any game I wanted. I'm like, well, what game I guarantee they wouldn't play. And
right.
So I just remember back to my childhood, and I'm just like, what did I play back in the day? And I suggested it, and boom.
Which is perfect, because that's kind of the idea of retro games. We love to find those, like, little nostalgia gems.
Yeah, and just for anyone that doesn't know, and possibly you included, DanQ, so for how we select our games, they just have to be older than 15 years. That's kind of our definition of retro in this case. For some people, that's not old enough, but we just want to include and let that be a rolling kind of retro definition. And so that's what we've been going with, and the game that you selected this week is a game that I don't know if I've ever heard of. Kenny or Nolan, have you ever heard of it? I know you guys probably have never played it, right?
I had never, like, heard the name, or at least I didn't recognize the name when you told me what it was, but when I saw the cover, like the game case, I was like, oh yeah, I've seen that 1,000 times at Video Giant right. When I go to rent games, So I guess I knew the cover.
That's how I would remember it for sure. Like, and
it's pretty memorable.
Oh, totally. And that's what caught my eye when I first grabbed it. So,
Kenny, you're gonna share.
No, yeah, I didn't know the game specifically. When you said it, I kind of was like, "What in the world is that?" But then when I realized it was, you know, cars fighting cars, basically, I realized I probably had seen it at some point. During my childhood, I had some cousins who were real big into the card game genre, and they loved the Twisted Metal series and a number of those others where it's, you know, be crazy and blow stuff up. And so I probably crossed paths with it, but very, very informally.
Well, rather than just talking mysteriously about a game that we haven't even announced yet, let's let our viewers know that we this last week have played the game Vigilante 8.
Overview.
It is a vehicular combat game, which is a genre that I'm not entirely sure made it out of the 90s successfully. Like,
I mean, sure,
you've got Twisted Metal, which was obviously a successful series. And then, do we include Mario Kart in this, guys?
What?
Totally.
No.
Yes.
No, I don't really think so. The goal isn't to necessarily blow each other up in Mario Kart.
That's just true.
It's meant to slow you down. In this goal, you're meant to kill this guy.
Okay, fair enough.
Mario Kart's still a racing game, I guess, at the core. Like,
yeah, that's true. And Vigilante 8 is not, but it's a combat game. It's a vehicular combat game. And so there's not many successful titles that I know of in this genre. This game came out for PlayStation originally in 1998, and later I think it was released for Nintendo 64 and for Game Boy Color.
Whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, the game is set in an alternate 1975, and so there's been this oil crisis, and the country is going wild. It's like falling in on itself. The government is unstable, and there's just rampant crime everywhere. And out of there rises out of the ashes these two different teams. You've got, and for this game, you've got the protagonists, who are your vigilantes, which the game is named after, and then you've got your antagonists, which are the coyotes. And so they're butting heads, they're against one another. The vigilantes want to bring order and peace to the country, and so they're going to try to stop anyone and everything that is trying to come against that. The coyotes, on the other hand, they're just They're terrorists. Like, they're going around trying to destroy, like, even more, like, gas stations and oil and churches. And, like, really, they're just really terrible people.
I would appreciate you not calling my group terrorists.
Hey, I played as a coyote. Nolan would play. But I also coyote. Had a mission. I also had a mission where I had to destroy a church. And any group that has to destroy a church,
that's so
I feel
dark.
Like... I feel like that is you know, sheds or puts them in negative light, and whether they want to be or not. So, I mean, that's the basis of the game. You select a character at the beginning of the game if you're doing story mode. Well, I guess if you're doing arcade mode as well. But in story mode, you select a character either from the vigilantes or from the coyotes, and then you play 4 or 5 stages, either protecting things or destroying things. Is that about right, Dan?
Yeah, that was pretty much all it was. To be honest, I never really paid attention to the story. Like, I would always just go in and blow shit up.
Right.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those games that, like, the appeal is playing with your friends and just, you know, attacking everything and running into things.
Yeah.
And not there's some story there and some fun story, but it's pretty peripheral for sure.
Yeah.
So, Dan, why did you decide that this should be the game that we play this week and that we talk about on this podcast?
When I was younger, when this game came out in 98, I would have been 7. I never had a PlayStation until a little later, but I did have an N64. And growing up, my parents were very, very strict when it came, you know, came terms with video games or movies, anything that I'm watching. Like, they were very like, hey, it's an E-rated game, you can play it, but you have to be of age before you can play games.
Sure.
You know, I gotta praise them for doing that, because it taught me the values that you should know. You know, you don't want to go in and just start shooting people up or whatever. But
that's
anyway, I remember going to my cousin's house one time, and they had a PlayStation. This would have been in, I don't know, I think this had to have been like 97 or 98, I'm not sure. And I remember they had every Twisted Metal game available at the time, 1 to 3. And I remember sitting down playing every single Twisted Metal game known to man. And I was just, I'm like, this is so much fun. And back when, like, video rental stores like Blockbuster were around, like, that was how we got our games, really. Like, we didn't have a hell of a lot of money, so we couldn't just go out and buy a new game every week like we wanted. But we ended up, you know, we'd go into Blockbuster and I'd be like, oh, I want to find Twisted Metal. But my mom wasn't having any of that, right? So I remember looking in the N64 section and seeing Vigilante 8. And I'm like, this is exactly what that is. It's got to be, but it's got a T rating. So maybe it'll be okay. And I remember asking, and I ended up bringing it home and just, oh, we just loved it. I think we may have rented that game like 10 to 20 times.
Amazing.
That's great. So your little childhood rebellion.
Pretty much. I mean, being able to play a T game when I was, 99, so I would have been 8 years old. Being able to play a teen game, I was just like, oh my God, what am I getting away with here? So
that's right.
But
that's incredible.
Yeah.
That's a fun story. Gameplay.
So when you start the game, as we already said, you select a character. I'm very interested in which character each of you selected either this week, or which character was your favorite out of all the characters, either in the Vigilantes or the Coyotes.
I went with Sid Byrne.
I'm not as surprised even a little bit.
What are you talking about? Yeah, like,
it just fits you perfectly.
It totally doesn't. I just picked him.
It does.
Yeah, he starts the Coyotes or whatever. So Sid Byrne and his car, the Manta, is the character that
Manta.
I went with.
Kenny?
I played as, I forget his name, Bee Sting? Beekeeper?
Beeswax. Yeah.
There it is. I found it.
Isn't he the Coyotes as well? Or is he a good guy?
I don't remember.
I forget. I just know he had a pickup truck.
Yeah, I think he's a bad guy.
Yeah, I think he's a coyote.
Yeah, I had to blow, like, I was always blowing stuff up, so I was a coyote.
I know y'all said this isn't story-based, but you can't get a better story than a guy named Beeswax who has joined the Coyotes, a terrorist organization, because he's frustrated by the irradiation of his beehives, and so that's why he's angry. Yeah, come on. We got to get into the backstory here. That's what this game's all about, story, man.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
so.
I chose John Tork, who he doesn't have near as good of a story as the Beehive Guy, but he is a Beehive Guy, but he's just a gambler, and he's on the Coyotes, and I don't know, he's trying to make more money so he can gamble it away.
Dan, did you have a favorite?
To be honest, there were a few guys I would swap between. I would actually pick John Tork as well, and also Chassis Blue. Those two are my two top. And then occasionally, I would play as Convoy. But mainly those two. But once, I don't know if you guys ended up doing this on the, God, forgive me, it's been so long. The Secret Base mission, if you blow open a warehouse, you actually find the hidden character, and it's Y the Alien. You get to fly around in his spaceship. I used him after that, like, all the time.
That's super
I saw
cool.
that looking through things about the game last week when we announced that we were playing it, and I was interested about how you actually get to play as him, because he definitely seems like a bonus character or something.
It's always neat when games give you a good, you know, like Easter egg kind of thing, something to discover.
But it's like always aliens. Why is it always aliens?
This is the 90s.
Why not?
Let them have their moment.
Like, so the task, am I correct in this? I think I understood it. I mean, I played through an entire character, but you go into a stage and you've got one kind of task, an objective, and your goal is to complete that and then destroy the 1, 2, or 3, 4 possibly in later stages enemies that are on that stage trying to and that's pretty much your task, and you do that in a different way each stage. Is that correct?
Pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, the real task is to, like, shoot everybody else to make their cars blow up from your car, but you also have some checkboxes to tick.
Like, I'm sure you could just go ahead and just kill everybody before you even did the objective, and then it'd be just easy for you, but...
Dustin, being a completionist, couldn't let those objectives go, though.
No, because it tells you at the end, you can, I think if you destroy your enemies before completing the objective, the stage ends, and you can still move to the next stage, but
it's like
you
0%.
Don't get... Yeah, you don't get your ending, your character's ending, until you complete all the objectives.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, okay.
And so, so that's how every stage is. There's only about, like I said, 4 to 5 stages per
character, but
and
spread over a whole lot of characters.
Oh yeah,
there's quite a significant amount of game to play.
Absolutely. And then at the end, you've got a kind of a cutscene or story ending. And I know we've said multiple times this is not a story-driven game, but I can't help but get away from these story endings. And so, like, Tork, the guy that I was playing, the gambler, at the end of his game, if you accomplish his
spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert for those of you that are planning on playing this 1998.
Yeah, one of the great things about retro games is you don't have to feel too bad about that.
Watch, someone will give you grief, though. I guarantee it.
Oh, absolutely.
Sure. We'll just block him and make fun of him. Tork takes his boss's money and then gambles it away, and opens up his trunk at the end of the game, and his previous boss is in his trunk. And so,
yeah, Sid's ending. While we're talking about it, you got to appreciate the comedy effort gone into it. So he gets the cash at the end. And then he gets back in the car, and wouldn't you know, he has no gas. So
there's different endings. You said, Dan, that there's that alien as a secret character. Are there other secret characters, or is that the only one?
No, he's pretty much the only one, but he does have his own story as well. So you can, once you find him, you can actually do the same thing you did with all the other characters and do his own thing. And his is just as funny, too. So
that's a great one.
Yeah,
the kind of tongue-in-cheek endings where all of them sort of end with a little bit of a grin was fun for sure.
It's super cheesy, but that's what makes it fun.
Oh, absolutely. But like, that's honest to what the game is trying to be, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's big and these outlandish characters, and you're just driving around strapping rockets onto your car, blowing things up. If it wasn't, like, taking things a little lightly, it wouldn't really work.
No.
Now, there's arcade mode. Is that... Are you able to play with a friend?
Yeah.
Kind of... on the same screen?
Yep, I remember that was my jam. Like, arcade mode was my... Like, honestly, I maybe played the story like a couple of times. I never played it that often, but the arcade mode, it would be like myself and my brother for the most part, split screening it. But then you'd get like, I'd have a few of my friends over and then we'd be quad screening it, you know, on all four controllers. Well, at least for N64. Right. And that was just so much fun.
I feel like games like this, that's the charm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like, people, and obviously these games aren't connected in any way, but people didn't get the Halo games to play through the campaign. They got the Halo games to play with friends and to play, you know, these co-op.
GoldenEye was the same way. You know, great story there, but everybody rocked the multiplayer. Like, that's what it was about.
Right. And so that definitely would have been fun. Obviously, well, like, I don't have any friends, so I couldn't bring anybody over to play arcade mode with me. But playing through the story mode was still, like, it gives you a taste of what the game's about, what the art style is. The music, like, is just crazy and intense and fun. And then just the combat style. I mean, like, even what I found really funny is, okay, so in your standard fighting game, you know, you've got combo multipliers and you've got unique button inputs. You have both of those things with this car combat game as well. And I never really figured them out, but there are certain button combinations that you can do that shoots off a special attack.
I remember
it,
that.
With
yep.
your missiles.
Yep.
So, like, I don't know what it is, but like up, left, X, triangle, or whatever could use a missile in a unique way to do more damage. And then if you got multiple combo hits on somebody, then you do a whammy, which is just a super special attack.
Just yeah. That term.
And I think it keeps track of your whammies. And like at the end of the stage, it will tell you how many, you know, how many whammies you got.
Right.
That's really funny. And I think each character has their own unique, like special, like you were talking
they
about.
They do. They have a special. It's exclusive to their vehicle.
Yeah. And Sid's was like incinerator type thing. I don't know the name of it, but they have like a catchphrase they'll say, and then they'll do it. So it's kind of funny.
Anything, guys, you want to add before we kind of talk about how we think the game has aged?
Yeah, I've got an important question.
Yeah.
On the Vigilantes team, are there 8 characters? Because I don't think there are.
Are they outnumbered?
No, I just...
No, I think it's 6 and 6, actually.
Okay, good.
Like for each
I
side.
Also then, don't think that there were 7 games prior to this one. So I've got a problem. Why in the world is it called Vigilante 8? <Huh. laughs>
That is a good question. It is a sequel, though, huh?
Or is it 4 and 4? Are there 8 characters? No, it's not like a direct... It's not an 8th sequel either way.
No, I think it was based off
It was inspired by like a PC game, but it wasn't...
Yeah,
Interstate 76.
Yeah, but it wasn't like a direct... sequel. It was kind of a spin-off.
We need to go back to this. There's not 8 characters. Like, it's not... there's not 8 characters?
There's 13, and the 13th character is Y the Alien, the secret character. So there's 12 total, 6 on 6. The Vigilantes and then the Coyotes.
So 8 doesn't make sense no matter what.
I thought there was 8 on the Vigilante side, and now I realize there isn't. That.
Okay, this isn't good. This is not okay.
Guys.
Okay, one of our viewers, you got to help us out. Why is it called Vigilante 8? Figure it out.
There's 8 stages.
Let us know.
1998?
No. No.
I think they just couldn't count. That must be
They wanted it to like sound like an established franchise.
It's just like my name, DanQ8000. This isn't the 8,000th DanQ, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's fair.
That you know of.
That's true. I owe a lot of people a lot of money.
he was born on 8,000 is what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I'm sure it was just a you know choice to make it sound cool or whatever. But all week, like on the back of my mind, I was like, why is it 8?
To be honest, that was part of my what do you call it? 8's been my favorite number ever since I was a kid. So maybe that was part of the appeal for me. I'm like, ooh, a big 8. What's up with this?
I bet so. I imagine the game creator crew just sitting around a table and being like, all right, we got 6 Vigilante members. Y'all want to name it Vigilante 6? Nah, that doesn't sound good. What's another number? There's 12 characters in total, 13 including the alien. Somewhere in between. 8 sound good? Yeah, let's go with 8. Vigilante 8. And
Kenny might be onto something where they just wanted to sound like
that's
ooh,
right.
Been 8
We're
Vigilante
a really,
games.
Really
that
established
be,
franchise.
That must be a good franchise.
Well, unless, of course, it sounds good like Vigilante 8. You know what I mean? Like, that could be it too.
True.
Who knows?
It'll It'll be a mystery.
Let's call up Luxaflux and ask them.
So, Dan, have you played this game recently? When's the last time you picked up a copy or you sat down and played for a few minutes Vigilante 8?
The last time, probably 2001.
So it's not been recently. A while.
Yeah, to be honest, I never owned Vigilante 8. I owned the second game, Second Offense, which was just as good, actually, and they added more characters. And I put probably just as much time, maybe more, into that game. But, yeah, it's been ages. Like, I mean, I had an N64, and then I'd lost the N64, so I have no idea. I'd like to play it again, but I guess you can always download it.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised they didn't call it Vigilante 16.
All right, sequel. Let's move away from the number thing, Kenny.
Vigilante squared.
You know I'll laugh about it for ages if you give me the chance.
8 to the power of 2.
Aged. Having not played it for a while, I know you still got these fond memories of it, and it's got some great nostalgia for you. But for me, who had never played this game before and is coming in 2016 and playing this 1998 vehicular combat game that I'd never played before, for me, it was difficult to engage with at least at the beginning. The button scheme is easy. I mean, that's not what's difficult, and it's just I had never been big into the vehicular combat games, and so this is one of the first ones that I've ever played. I mean, I played Crazy Taxi, but that's a totally different type.
Yeah, that's type completely thing. Different.
when you put guns on a vehicle, I've never been good at that. And so this game for me was somewhat difficult. Like, I had many stages where I failed over and over and over again before I finally succeeded. And so for me, this game, like, I don't know, for me it didn't age exceptionally well. Like, it feels like a 1998 game, and it was difficult for me to get a handle on.
I could totally see that.
Or for me, it was weird to be in control of a car, but not be on a linear racetrack, which that it shouldn't bother me, but it was strange because it's like, where do you go, and why is everyone shooting at me? So I can see what you mean, like that weird feel to
it. Nolan was confused why he didn't have shells to shoot at other players.
Yeah, I was looking for the red shell and some coins, and I didn't get either one, so I was like, but no, it's just strange to have that freedom, and it's almost like a MOBA for cars. I don't know, you have this freedom to move about and destroy the level. And I will say, for the like the level design where you can destroy things and it kind of interact with the level, I think that was a little advanced for 98.
Hey, that's true. You could, if you shot a like a mortar rocket in the sky and then it comes down and hits on a car, if it hits the ground as well, they actually cut away a piece of the ground, like, and make a big divot. So, like, right. That's unique.
Mm-hmm. That part of it, I think, was a little ahead of its time, maybe. So that I respected that. And, you know, I think it aged okay because there aren't that many. Maybe there are now, but there aren't that many vehicular combat games that come to mind other than, like, Twisted Metal, which this is in the same vein.
I feel like it's stuck around. I'm with you guys. It's not a genre I know well, but beyond it being really popular sort of in this era, you know, you can still find games where you strap a rocket launcher to your car and just blow stuff up.
To be honest, though, it's definitely not as common. I think the last legitimate vehicular combat game that came out was the Twisted Metal reboot back in, I think it was 2011 or 12. And yeah, that one, they expected to do a lot better. I mean, I think most of their audience there were the people who actually grew up playing the Twisted Metal games.
Sure.
I mean, I feel like if you have the new generation, you know, the kids who grew up on Call of Duty and that sort of thing, I feel like they're going to be like, what is this? Because that game felt very old school. Like, I'm like, this feels just like the first three, four Twisted Metal games to me. And I love that about it, but it didn't fare too well, you know, in the numbers category. So
yeah, I definitely think they had that in mind, like making that game. It's like, well, it's going to be a new Twisted Metal, updated graphics, updated controls and engine, whatever. And yeah, it seems like it's the original audience, like it's almost like a cult classic, Vigilante 8, where it's just a kind of one of those PS1 gems that I recognize from the cover. but never really like got into. But I feel like people who loved the game, like you, Dan, they're all about any kind of vehicular combat game that might come out. So it'd be interesting to see if they, you know, try to keep making more games like that.
Yeah, I'd imagine it's a genre that kind of died because it just reeks of the time so much. Like this game is 90s to me in the same way that like sitting down and watching like iconic movies from the 80s just feels like that decade. You know, like the tone of it totally. And the characters and even the, like the kind of graphics being sort of 3D but being pretty bad at it and then just sort of blowing things up and trying to kind of like, you know, be sort of edgy but not too much. It feels like the 90s to me. That was the most fun part of the game for me, was sort of the way they kind of hit the tone.
I think that's why I liked it, is because of that feel. Like I can, when I was playing it, it felt like I was at my friend Greg's house when we were in high school or middle school, and we had woke up on a Saturday to play this game. That's what it felt like, and I liked that aspect of it because it definitely fits into that 90s feeling. Like that was advanced for the 90s, you know, like this game was probably really, really awesome.
And I feel like if you got the chance to play it when it was brand new, like hell, if we like go back to hell, I wasn't born in the 80s, but if I was, I'm pretty sure I would have thought like Pong or whatever was the shit, you know what I mean? Like, sure. And but now if you go play Pong, you're bored after, I mean, everybody loves Pong, but you know, you play it for a bit, you're just like, okay, I'm done, because you're used to a higher standard or a much more advanced game. So when this came out, I was like, look at all this freedom, like the open world aspect and all this. And it was kind of new. I mean, even though there was Twisted Metal, but even the first Twisted Metal, you couldn't leave an arena. You know what I mean? So big advance.
I think we're all saying the same thing, and I agree with everything that you guys are saying. If you grew up and this is the game that you rented from Blockbuster, or if you grew up and this was the game that you brought friends over to your house, you know, in middle school and you played, then I think you're going to have a connection to this game that you would love to revisit here in 2016. But in my opinion, I think for the, you know, for the general populace, this game is not going to be one that is too accessible for you, especially if you haven't before played the vehicular combat genre, because it is really different. It's not like you can be good at Call of Duty, a shooter, and then hop into this shooting game and that, you know, those skills,
totally different, yeah.
Those skills correlate. It's very different.
I did find, though, that you can be really bad at one and hop into this game and be really bad at it also. So that kind of counts for something.
Yeah, you
there is
the Kenny factor to it.
The final shell shock.
At the tail end of the majority of our podcasts, Dan, we kind of decide individually, are we going to give this game our new game plus status? Which, guys, like, what do you guys define that as?
So the new game plus seal of approval just basically means that we would recommend playing it. One, it could mean that. It could just mean that we'll revisit it, or it's worth revisiting, and it's not just something that we should leave in the 90s or leave whenever the game came out and just appreciate it for what it was, but something that we could see ourselves enjoying today or someone else enjoying today. It doesn't necessarily mean, did you like the game? It could, you know, you could have not liked it but still see the appeal of it being replayable. Basically, just like a new game plus in a game, like you beat it and then you can do new game plus, play it again. So,
is it worth picking up and playing for someone who hasn't ever today, even though it's an old game, is kind of the parameters I use.
So, Dan, we'll just start with you, and I know that kind of makes it a little bit difficult, but would you give this your new game plus status? Would you, for our viewers, for those that are listening, would you suggest that, hey, for the majority of you, go pick this game up, it would be fun to play, you would enjoy it, or do you have reservations in that?
Well, I guess my opinion's a little biased, because I would definitely, if I could get my hands on it again, I definitely would sit down and play it, but the thing is, I wouldn't play it for, you know, I guess what it is as a game, I'd play it for the fact that that was my childhood growing up, you know, like I played that for years. So if I was, you know, in this day and age, this era of video gaming, someone completely new who probably has never ever played a vehicular combat game in their life and be expected to take to this game, I guarantee you they will not. The vehicular combat genre is so outdated, like you were saying, it's very 90s. It's a very 90s style of gameplay, which is why when Twisted Metal came out in the last few years, it didn't do as well as they'd hoped. You're not going to capture any new audiences. You're just going to capture the old ones. And once they get done with it, they're going to die, right? Everyone's going to die eventually, and this genre will, unfortunately. So I don't think I would be able to give that the seal of approval on this for that reason. But I definitely think if you want something new and you're just like, hey, what the hell can I play? Definitely go try it. I think it's worth trying. I'm not saying you have to, you know, don't go in with super high expectations. That's all I'm going to say.
That's fair. And I'd imagine probably kind of where a number of us are going to land. Because like for me...
Speak for yourself, Kenny.
Okay, well, we'll see. I'm not going to tell people to go pick it up, so I'm not giving it a New Game Plus. But I did find it had a lot of charm as a game. Like some of the characters, some of the tone of it, it definitely sort of really vibed 90s for me. And they did a good job of kind of having that feel. And so there were definitely enjoyable things about it. I had a good time playing through it a little bit.
I don't think I'm going to give it a New Game Plus either for the reasons that have already been stated. I think that we can really appreciate for what it was for nostalgia's sake, certainly. I'm totally for loving a game because it means something to you.
He did download the soundtrack, though, and is going to fall asleep to it for the next 2 weeks.
I did not download the soundtrack, and he's a liar.
Start growing an afro?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm going to change the way that I live life. No, so yeah, it's, you know, it's a game that made a mark in 98, unique genre that unfortunately didn't get explored further in this day and age, so no.
Just to be contrarian, I am giving this my New Game Plus status approval. I am, and my goal for 2016 is to get a copy of Vigilante 8 into everyone's household in America so that they can enjoy this 1998 classic.
How much did Activision pay you?
Well, we'll talk about that later. We do want to respond to a couple people that have enjoyed a game with us or been able to play along, and I've got two people here. Harbury said, any of you guys remember the Easter egg in the Area 51 level? I forget how you did it, but I remember aliens coming down and having to fight them.
Is
that what you were talking about, Dan?
No, the one I was talking about is, well, it was like the secret research. It was basically Area 51, but right. I just remember if you blew up this warehouse that was kind of tucked in the middle, like hidden in plain sight, that's why the alien spacecraft was, and you couldn't do anything with it. You could hit it a bunch and blow it up, but then when you played a new game, that's what it would appear. But I don't remember that at all.
Huh. You know what? I think this happened to me, and I didn't know it was an Easter egg. There's satellites on that stage, I believe, and if you take out each of the satellites, then
you know what?
These
I do recall that. I actually, now that you mentioned the satellites, I think I do. It's been so long, though. I mean,
yeah. Oh, yeah. No, but I think then these like three alien ships come down and they start attacking you, and you have to take them out as well.
That's brilliant. A nice touch. I like that.
That's great.
So 90s.
Absolutely.
LOL Hard said this.
It worked. It worked.
It's a reference to game difficulty, guys.
Definitely. LOL Hard. Vigilante 8 and its sequel, Vigilante 8 Second Offense, were pretty amazing. Hope you know that Vigilante 8 was a spinoff of Interstate 76, which we did mention. He said also an HD/remixed version is up on Xbox Live called Vigilante 8 Arcade. Some fans like it, others hate it. It is worth trying out. Also, try a car combat game for the PS1 called Rogue Trip Vacation 2012.
No.
It was made by Single Track, which was the Twisted Metal team.
Interesting. Huh.
I've never even heard of that.
No, it's Rogue Trip : so I guess the title's Rogue Trip, and then we've got the subtitle Vacation 2012. So
when did that come out?
Sounds like a movie.
I don't know. I've never heard of that game in my life. PS1, he said, so I guess...
We know how they name games, though, so they didn't come out in 2012, I'm sure.
Oh, I figured,
they just pick a number.
Well, I'm assuming that 2012 is how many characters you have to select from.
Interesting to note that viewers can pick up the remixed version.
From what I understand, though, it's very different, though. Like, the characters don't even drive the same vehicles, and it's like...
So it's more a remake than a re-release.
I'd say it's more of a remake, but they do have this, like, similar characters. Like, let me think. I don't know, like say you've got John Torque, for example, he's got three different vehicles in all three Vigilante 8 games. So, you know, so like the first one is different, cool. The second one's, but I guess that keeps it fresh. I mean,
yeah, but I could see how some like diehard fans would be frustrated with some of that. Dan, at the end of each of our episodes, we randomly select a new game that we're going to play. Well, a new old game that we're going to play for the next 7 days before we record our next episode. And so we've got a list that our viewers are able to look at and contribute to and add to. You can, like, those links are found on our social media. But that is an incomplete list. And it would be awesome if you've got like a suggestion or two that we could, I know I'm putting you on the spot, but if you had a suggestion or two of a game that is older than 15 years that we could add to that list and possibly play sometime in the future. So do you have a game that is in your, like in your mind, or a game that you've possibly played, I don't know, recently on your channel or anything like that, that, that you would like to see us play at some point?
Well, that's tough to say. It's tough to say, because I remember you gave me the 15-year rule, and I'm like, ah, damn, Nice Little Republic is just out of that line. So, but
yeah, great game.
Back in this time frame, I honestly was playing so much vehicular combat games, it wasn't even funny. that was my thing. I'm like a huge car guy, so like even growing up, I loved them. But there's this one game I can guarantee that no one's played, and I'm sure everyone's forgotten about.
Okay.
I'm sure everybody's familiar with SimCity, right?
Absolutely.
Well, they made a vehicular combat game out of SimCity. I'm actually not kidding. It's called, what's it called? I think it's simply called The Streets of SimCity. And what you were able to is, if you had SimCity, you could build a city and drive around blowing people up in it. And it's like, I think it's older than Vigilante 8. I think it came out in like, it might have actually came out same year or the year before. I just remember playing it, like, when I was a kid. I was like, this is wholesome family fun right here, you know? Like, I'm allowed to play this game because it has SimCity in the title. But, like, I wasn't allowed to play anything. That's the problem. Nintendo games, and that's about it. So I'm sure you guys
probably played those. That's why you love these so much.
Yeah, exactly. It's a special place in my heart. So I guess I could suggest
that. I actually might really like that game, because I'll be able to take out my frustration on SimCity. We've actually played that game for our podcast, and I didn't enjoy it. So this might be something...
I'll tell you this though, Streets of SimCity I had as a kid growing up, and it is awesome. I remember it being awesome. It might be terrible.
It's probably terrible.
It was so much fun back then, because you could customize your car and upgrades. And this is back in like 95, 96, 97. Oh my, yeah. Okay. So we'll add that to the list. Hopefully that will come up soon for us to be able to play. Let's randomly select our new game for the week. Kenny, do you want to get hyper real quick?
You know, I'm excited. Everybody knows I get excited. You don't have to give me a hard time about it. My heart rate is slightly elevated.
There you go, talking over. I'm going to randomly select the game from our list, and the game that we are going to be playing over the next 7 days is Age of Empires 2.
Sweet.
What do you think about that, Kenny?
I'm so excited.
I feel like our friend was trying to get us to play that like last year.
Real-time strategy for me is, I don't know, like that was the genre I grew up on. Like that was my bread and butter growing up. And so
my bread and my bread-a. I think that a re-release of it or an HD version of it just recently came out. And so that would be easy to be picked up in the Steam store. And you can definitely play along with us this week. Viewers, if you've got a copy or if you can get access to a copy of Age of Empires 2, it's a great game. You can play it with friends or you can play it alone. That's fine too. Dan Q, where can our viewers find you on the World Wide Web? What are you doing in this day and age with your content?
Well, basically, youtube.com/DanQ8000. Let's plays of basically whatever game I feel like, mostly new, but I will dip into like my retro selection, or based on whatever people suggest, I'll play some older games as well. That's my jam there. I'm also on my social medias, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Vine, Snapchat, all that kind of stuff is found on my channel as well. So your best bet is to just go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/DanQ8000.
if you follow people that that upload maybe, you know, once a month, a couple times a month, then Dan Q will be a breath of fresh air to you because he uploads like 4 videos a week. This man so is intense. Dude, with how much content he produces.
Four videos a day.
Yeah, a day. That's more realistic.
So you're either going to love me or you're going to hate me. There's one of the two. You're like, stop spamming me. Or you could be like, oh my God, this nonstop content. Fortunately, most of the people who are subscribed to me like the nonstop content. So it,
sure,
it works out. Sure.
Yeah, and his content is quality. Guys, if you want to if you want to follow him, I know recently he's been playing through some of the new Assassin's Creed games. He's got the Firewatch game, which everybody is hyped about. Definitely go check him out on his channel and then follow him on Twitter. We've tweeted out this week and we'll continue to do so, especially on Monday when the new episode comes out. But follow him. He's incredible. I mean, you've been able to meet him here on the podcast today. Definitely go and support this guy.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Viewers, thank you so much for your support. Thank you for listening to the podcast today. We, as always, cherish your feedback. And so, find us, subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher, SoundCloud, wherever you're listening to us. Throw up a rating and a review. That would help. Connect with us throughout the week. And we really look forward to meeting back with you guys next week as we play Age of Empires 2. Until then, I'm Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
Nolan.
And I'm Dan.
And that's Dan Q. And this has been New Game Plus.